Well, I'm in the lab with Dr. Laura Sullivan Beckers, assistant professor in the Department of Biology here at Murray State. We're going to talk about something that I think is in a lot of people's minds this time of year. As it gets cold outside, you might find in your kitchen, in your bathroom, a critter that has come in from the outdoors, perhaps seeking some warmth, seeking some food or shelter. And your first thought is, oh my gosh, what is that? Is it harmful? And what do I need to know? So we have here sort of a list of about 10 that would be common to the West Kentucky region. And this is by no means a comprehensive list. There are tens of thousands of insects and other kinds of critters in Kentucky. You can find a good resource online at the University of Kentucky Critter Files or
bugguide.net.
Okay, yes, and you can find more about those. So, but we wanted to just focus on some of the more common ones that you might encounter, especially this time of year. So, can we start with Asian lady beetles?
Yeah, so these are super common right now. This is actually an invasive species. They're not native to North America. There's a concern that they're outcompeting our native species, but these are the ones that you see coming into your house usually over the winter time, and they come in great numbers. They sort of huddle up together, and they will hang out with you all winter if they can.
They're cute when there's one, but they can easily become a pest.
Right.
I've heard people say that there's an infestation.
Yes.
If there is an infestation like that, what should we know? I mean, will they bite? Are they harmful?
They're predatory, but they are. I've never heard of a person being bitten by one. They started bringing them to North America because they're useful in killing other smaller invertebrate animals, like your aphids and that sort of thing on your plants. And so they've just done very well for themselves. But no, they're not putting a human at danger.
So what are they looking for in a house? Are they looking for food, for warmth?
Mostly warmth. So in the temperate regions, like Kentucky is, we start to get some really cool temperatures and shorter day lengths. Most of our invertebrates will go into a diapause or a rest period over the winter. And some of them will just die with the first frost. Others will, seek shelter under leaf litter or cracks in the pavement or wherever they can find shelter. And so they're finding places, ways to get inside your house, which is nice and warm.
How can you tell them apart? I mean, some are red with black spots, some are orange. Are their backs and their spots like snowflakes where everyone's unique?
From what I can tell, the Asian lady beetles are incredibly diverse. Their morphology is, but the native species, one of the ones that we have around here is the convergent lady beetle, which has these kind of two white stripes on the back of their heads, and that would differentiate them from the Asian lady beetles. But the Asian lady beetles, some of them have spots, some of them don't, some of them are pale, some of them are bright red, and they're kind of all over the place.
Some people in the region might have seen what looks like little furry moths, and now it's my understanding that these are drain flies.
Yes. Yeah, we get drain flies. Drain flies have two primary wings that are pretty distinctive, and they will come up out of your drain in bathrooms and hang out on your wall for a while, and I guess they go back down to the drain. I recognize them because they use vibrational communication, which is something that I study in my lab.
Does that like echo in the drain?
No, you would never hear it. No, it's a substrate vibration, so it's not something you'd hear audibly.
They typically would end up in bathrooms.
Yes.
And what are they doing in there? Just are they eating bacteria? Or?
I'm not sure what they're feeding on. Bathrooms are a great place for many invertebrates because it's moist and warm. So most of our critters in the bathroom are there because it's a watery place.
They're just drawn to it.
Right.
Okay, now this next one is one that I think a lot of people are pretty fearful of, and probably rightfully so, and these are wasps.
Yeah, so just recently in my own house, I had a wasp, it looked like it was drunk, crawling around on my kitchen floor, and I managed to sweep it up with my vacuum because it was so docile, which is horrible. But this time of year, like the wasps and the bees and stuff, they come inside and they seem lethargic, zombie-like, like they're really bizarre. I don't know what they're doing. I know that queens can diapause and overwinter. Workers and males, I believe, die with the first frost. And so I don't know if these are in the later stages of death and they're just coming, trying to find shelter, but don't make it. But yeah, there are a lot of kind of zombie wasps around right now.
There's a lot of wasps. So what is most common in our region? I know a lot of people talk about mud daubers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have lots of mud daubers. And those are, among the wasps, kind of the more friendly ones. They have a long abdomen and they make the sort of mud-shaped constructed nests on the sides of walls. We have a lot of paper wasps, which includes lots of different ones like yellow jackets and other things. But yeah, we have cicada killers, which are really cool.
What should we know about a wasp in terms of what they're after?
Well, wasps, they're predatory animals. There's lots of different kinds of wasps. So there are some that are they're parasites. So they will sting, stun other animals, lay their eggs inside of them. And those tend to be non-social wasps, which are less aggressive towards humans. So it's the social wasps that build these big nests, hornet nests, that sort of thing. Those are the ones that are aggressive towards humans or anybody that might come too near their nest. Solitary wasps, you don't have to worry about.
I just had a mild panic attack because you said when they sting, they can lay eggs. I mean, if they sting a human, are they...
No, sorry. Not humans. No, there are some... There are the parasitoid species will sting and oviposit into prey animals or lay their egg near prey animals so that when their larvae hatch out, they have a breakfast for them.
Is there a venom in their sting that people should be aware of?
Well, some people have allergic reactions to bee and wasp stings, and really the hymenopterans, the bees, wasps, and ants, cause more human-related fatalities than any other invertebrate around here.
Wow.
So they're more dangerous than spiders and snakes and lots of other things.
So if you see a wasp, steer clear, even if it's dazed, perhaps. House centipedes. Now, these little guys are really cool looking.
I agree.
I have to say. Can you describe what they look like?
So they look like kind of like a normal centipede, except they have like super spidery, daddy long leggy-ish legs, and many of them. They're probably like the size of your thumb, maybe. And they're quite fast. They scurry around your house very swiftly. My cats really enjoy trying to chase them and kill them.
Yeah, they look sort of alien-like,
yeah.
And you might be startled to see one at first, but like you said, they are really fast, so what are they doing in the house? What are they eating?
They're hunting. They're predators as well, and so they like moist, warm places, so again, you often find them near a bathroom or a kitchen sink. Yeah, so they're predators. They'll come in and try to find just about anything that's small, and they can get their mandibles around.
So they might be eating other pests in your house,
right?
Like crickets or
sure.
Cockroaches, stuff like that.
Right.
If one were to bite a human, what should you know?
I've never heard of anybody being bitten or stung. They actually have a poison claw that they use to envenomate their prey. And I don't know that they can pierce the skin of a human. I don't know.
Maybe that can be a project for some folks over the winter holidays. So they look cool,
yep.
But maybe just try to let them be.
Yeah, I wouldn't handle them.
But they're not necessarily a threat. So if you see one, you don't have to, you know, get out the vacuum cleaner.
No.
Okay.
No, you're safe.
Let's go from the crawly one with a bunch of legs to one that has no legs, right? And that's slugs.
Right, okay.
Slugs don't have legs, right?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't want to, you know, have like a science faux pas here. And like technically... There's all kinds of slugs.
Yes.
What are the most common ones people would see here?
The slugs that we get around here are, you know, they're substantial.
They kind of be big. And yeah. And they look kind of leopard-like.
Yeah, there's a leopard slug.
I assume
that's
leopard
what
slugs.
Right.
Now, the slime trail that a slug leaves,
yep.
Is that harmful to humans or pets?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
What is it?
It's a slime that they produce so that that's how they move. So they have undulating muscles that slide along the slime trail that they make, snails as well. And so they produce a slime trail that they're able to then glide around on.
Okay. I heard that slugs have elaborate courting behaviors.
Have you seen the video? I showed it in my class this semester.
Can you describe and keep this G-rated
okay, PC.
Here?
All right. Well, so they're hermaphroditic animals, but yeah, so they will actually transfer sperm. So that you'll get two individuals, hermaphrodites, that will kind of follow each other using some pheromone communication. The video show, I can't remember which species it is, that they crawl up a tree until they get out on a limb, and then they kind of drop down on a slime, snotty trail, wrapping around each other, and then the male organ is emitted from the male's genital structure, and then they are able to pass sperm, you know, while they're wrapped around each other, falling around off this tree. And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a crazy sluggy dance that they do.
And that's really interesting. We'll put this video, link to this video online. But that's really interesting. Yeah. Very romantic.
Very.
So you mentioned snails. Let's talk about snails. The ones that I've seen in this region are very small, but perhaps they range in size.
They do. I mean, yeah. My daughter and I collect snails around our house, and we often make snail families because there are big ones and little ones, and we have, you know, the babies and the mommies, and so they do grow as they develop. So
I take it the snails are fairly harmless then.
I think so.
What should we know about the difference between a snail and a slug besides the obvious clothing that they wear?
Well, they're really closely related, and yeah, the obvious difference is that the snail has a shell that it carries around on its back. A slug is basically just a naked snail.
Why don't slugs have shells?
Very good question.
Let's turn to spiders. And I should mention that we've been sitting amongst a variety of spiders throughout this whole interview, and I've managed to keep my composure, which I think I deserve some credit for, especially these ones over here that are very fast and quite large. And on our website, we'll have some pictures of them. What are these large spiders here that are looking at me right now?
Right. So we have a variety of wolf spiders. Wolf spiders are what I do my research with. These little ladies here are in the genus Tigrosa. They're called Tigrosa because they're quite ferocious predators, so like after the tiger. So there's Tigrosa georgicola, which are quite large, and they are found around here. A lot of these I've collected on campus or on my front lawn.
Wait, these were from the campus?
Yeah, one of these is from, between here and Alexander Hall.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, they're big. They're like maybe 2 or 3 inches.
Right. This is actually the largest species of wolf spider in North America. This is Hogna carolinensis. They usually burrow underground in these really large burrows. I managed to dig her up with a shovel, bring her into the lab. I have the males of Tigrosa georgicola over there. You can see these guys have much longer legs than the females, but this is the same species. So for males, they usually have much longer legs, and these little miniature legs in the front are called pedipalps. And in a male spider, if he's mature, it looks like he's wearing boxing gloves. Like, it's kind of swollen. And that's how you can tell a male from a female. So a female pedipalp is totally straight. You don't see that bulbous.
Yeah, so they look like tiny legs, or like by their mouths or face. It's kind of cute, but also terrifying. These are large spiders that are common in our region.
Yes.
But are they... Will they go after a human?
Like, oh, no. You have to work. I've never been bitten by a spider. I've been working with them for years. And no, these girls, I mean, if you put them, when I went to capture, I put something in front of them.
Oh my gosh.
Like that. And they just tap the back of their legs.
Yeah. They go right into it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to attack you. The only time people I know have been bitten is if they, are catching them and accidentally pinch that and then they'll retaliate. But no, I mean, all spiders are venomous, but there are only two that are dangerous to you around here. All of these wolf spiders, if you happen to get bitten, it would probably feel like a bee sting, and it would be nothing to worry about.
Now, what are they eating?
I feed them crickets a couple of times a week.
Okay, and is that what they eat out in the,
mm-hmm.
in the wild?
Yeah, I mean, they'll eat, crickets, cockroaches, any small invertebrate or, insect or other spider even.
So if you see one in the house, nothing really too much to worry about.
Nope.
In fact, they might be helping you in some ways.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. These guys will take care of, flies and crickets and other things you probably don't want in your house.
Let's turn over to this other one here. And this is one that I think a lot of people are very fearful of, and that is the brown recluse.
Right. Yeah, so there are an awful lot of recluse spiders in Murray. And they look similar to our smaller wolf spiders, and they're often confused with a wolf spider. The recluses, you'll find, they don't make webs, but you'll find them inside of dark places, behind pictures in your basements, in your garage. If you leave them alone, they're not going to come after you or anything. The way I distinguish them is that they have, unlike the wolf spiders, they're kind of solidly brown, or kind of a grayish brown. The wolf spiders all have stripes on them and, on their, they have banded legs or they have a stripe on their back, but the recluse spider is almost completely solid grayish brown. And then it has that violin structure that you may or may not be able to see, depends on how close you are to it.
Wolf spiders have stripes. So how can you tell a violin from a stripe? Okay. That one is,
this is the wolf. This is
taking
dead.
Out here. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're sure about that.
Yes.
Okay.
It's swimming in alcohol. So do you see on its you know, this first segment here, it's like an upside down violin. Like this is the neck of the violin that kind of goes down towards his abdomen. And then this would be the chunk of the violin, the bigger part, towards his eyes. So this is the violin mark. You have to look pretty closely on some of them to see it. But if you look at the legs, you can see there's absolutely no stripes on them. Like, it is solid.
Solid color on the legs.
Right.
I have to say, I've been looking for the violin in the wrong place.
Oh, really?
For years. So the violin is up by their heads, and I've often looked at their abdomen.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you see a spider with a stripe on its abdomen, it's more likely a wolf spider.
Right.
I think that there's a lot of mythology with the brown recluse, and some of that has to do with their venomous bite. Is that overhyped, or is that a rational fear?
I think the medical community doesn't really know. They have cytotoxic venom, which means that it will cause decay in your cells, your tissues. But as common as a spider they are, there are really very few spider bites from brown recluse spiders. I mean, there are some, and, you know, I have a friend who lost, you know, a chunk of her bicep because of brown recluse. Like, you can lose a lot of tissue, but I think a lot of people probably get bitten and don't react to it. So it might be more like an individual human response. And as far as I can tell, medical personnel really don't know either. If you get bitten by one, what you look for is a black spot that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because that's your tissue decaying. But if you go see a doctor about it, probably what they're going to do is give you some antibiotics to try to take care of any secondary infections, but there's not anything to stop the cytotoxic effects of the spider. You might lose some tissue.
What is the lifespan of these, generally speaking?
It varies. Usually the smaller wolf spiders that you see, you know, the ones that are about a quarter, you know, about the size of a quarter, they probably will live about a year. Some of these larger ones, the Tigrosa and Hogna, are supposed to live 2 or 3 years.
I see also here some black widows. Mm-hmm. Now, would someone typically see one of these in their house in this region?
Yes.
Okay. What should we understand about them if we see one?
The black widow, I think, are just the most beautiful spiders we have here. I keep them in my lab just because I think they're gorgeous.
Okay, is this one alive here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Back up a little bit.
she's totally contained. But they're super common in Kentucky. I found these all over campus in my yard. And if you look for them, you're probably going to find them. Unlike the brown recluse, the venom of a black widow is a neurotoxin. So it would affect your whole central nervous system. And essentially what happens is that you get violently ill, you would have cramps. But there are, you know, we haven't had a fatality from a black widow bite since like the 50s. And I think nowadays you would have to be really already infirmed to be killed by a black widow. I think if you got bitten, you'd probably just get sick, but you would recover.
Why might these get into the house when it gets cold?
Well, they're just looking for some place to shelter. A lot of these guys will overwinter. And so outside, they're going to overwinter in the barks of trees or under the leaf litter. But because we have constructed houses on their habitat, the walls of our houses are warm. They find cracks to crawl into. And so they're just looking for a warm place to shelter for the winter.
I wanted to touch on cellar spiders here, which are also known as daddy long legs. I think a lot of people refer to them as that. But that's also a term for harvestmen. Is there a difference?
Actually, the common name daddy long legs that I was growing up, daddy long legs referred to the harvestmen, which is not a spider. It's an Apelionid. It has a single body segment. And so they're actually in a different group. And then cellar spiders, they have very long legs, long spindly legs and kind of long tubular bodies.
The cellar spiders, are they the ones with the round, like, eggs, like the white, they look like little cotton balls?
Right. The cellar spiders, they're really common here too, and they build webs. I often see them in garages. There's one in my bathroom right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have little webs. They're pretty stationary, like they don't. They're not going to scurry around and scare you. They're pretty harmless.
There's one other critter that we have to talk about, the house mouse.
Right.
If you have one, do you have a lot?
Hopefully not. I don't think they're like cockroaches in that way. But yeah, I mean, they're also looking for warm places to hunker down this time of year. But they're not dangerous. So they carry, you know, your ticks and fleas and tapeworms and that sort of stuff that might infect your pets. But at least in Kentucky and in Tennessee, they don't carry hantavirus, which is the kind of thing you might be scared of if you were living in Colorado or further out west.
What kind of food is a mouse looking for in someone's house, and where would they be in a house typically, if not like on the living room floor.
Yeah, let's see, I've found them in a kitchen before. I'm sure they were looking for, you know, oatmeal or grains or something to eat. I recently found one in a friend's garage, quite injured. I think a cat or a bird of prey probably brought it in, or it was attacked and then came in for shelter. But yeah, I mean, if they're gonna look for food, they'll be near your kitchen or.
So if you have a mouse in the house, get a cat.
Yes, that's and make sure your cat has been wormed and has flea protections.
Is there anything else that you want to add about critters of West Kentucky here and that we should know about as we head into the winter months?
No, I mean, open up your home. There's plenty of space for spiders and critters to hunker down with you for the winter.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.